The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. I got a poll in front of me on what kind of Bible people prefer. No, not translation. Print, electronic, and so forth. Fascinating. I'll share that with you in a few minutes, but it's Friday, so I always defer to the phones on Friday, and I've got Mark in Columbus on the line. Mark, you're on Bob Burney Live. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, I'm honored.
Well, how are you?
Are you deferred? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. This is, I don't know how many people defer to me. Wow, it's amazing.
You are seriously honored.
I'm deferred.
So yeah, you've been deferred.
I had a question for you though. It's open on Friday, so I want to ask you about the Bible. So there's that series Chosen, right? Have you watched The Chosen?
No. Haven't seen a single episode.
Oh, okay. I highly recommend it.
Many people say it's wonderful, but I haven't seen any of it.
Oh boy, the portrayals are great. Boy, it really gets hold of you. But my question is, one of the things that is portrayed, you know, they're going a little beyond what was actually said in the Bible about the disciples and so on. And, you know, okay, take a little bit of a license there or whatever, but I don't think it's unbiblical, any of it that I've seen. I just wanted to say that there's a portion of it about where the disciples address Matthew, because Matthew was a tax collector, and they portray him as this guy who's, you know, one of the Roman sort of stooges and so on. But so they want him. They're mad at him, you know, in their walks around with Jesus on their travels. And they, at one point they say, you know, Jesus is out healing people. And, they're talking to Matthew and they say, Matthew, several of them are mad at him, particularly Peter, who's portrayed as a firebrand.
Yeah.
And, they say, you know, I know Jesus has forgiven you, but we want you to, you know, we're still mad at you. You need to apologize to all of us. And I think part of that is partly biblical because I do believe that, if I'm not mistaken, that we're corrected, commanded to, tell people that. To go to the person,
sure,
Matthew
18.
Okay,
you're to go one on one. If that doesn't work, then you take a witness, and if that doesn't work, then you take it to the church. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, Matthew 18.
What is the context? Who is saying that?
Jesus is just simply teaching the way conflict should be dealt with in Matthew 18.
Okay.
Just general principles of how to deal with conflict within the Christian community, how Christians are to deal with conflict with each other.
All right. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure because I believed it was biblical, but I just didn't think that, you know, you ever had that little
what is the source? Where do you watch Chosen? Is it streaming? What is it?
So it was streaming for season one. And I think we just got it. Oh, it was on the Pureflix.
And oh, okay.
For season one. But now season two is a little different. It's, they've had it on YouTube, but now they're putting it on their own app.
Oh, so okay.
You kind of have to get onto their site. I can't really explain it too
well.
To
watch it on your computer, or you can cast it to your TV. Okay.
Yeah.
Joy and I, and I'm almost embarrassed to say it, we don't do very much of that. We probably should do more. And that's the primary reason I think that we haven't seen any of it. I've heard, you know, a lot about it, and people have sung its praises and so forth. I am always hesitant, however,
right?
Because admittedly, and maybe this is a weakness with me, but I am such a literalist when it comes to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Most Bible-based movies I don't enjoy because I sit there and I pick it apart. I go, well, that's not what he said. And it didn't happen that way. And they exaggerated that. And that's not what he said. He didn't say that. How do you know he said that? How do you know he went there? That's not the way. And I sit there and it ruins it for me.
It drives us crazy,
because I have such an incredibly high regard for the authority of Scripture. I just have a problem with people taking poetic license. And I'm not even saying it's wrong to, because in my sermons, I speculate, you know, did this, they did that.
Yeah.
But in my sermon, I'm not trying to portray it as real, as in a movie. So,
and I agree with you. People might get the wrong idea. And you certainly do not want that to happen for people to say, what's the truth?
Yes, and I have not seen even a single episode of The Chosen, so I can't say that they're doing anything wrong or whatever, but most of the Bible-based movies, through the years, I have just not enjoyed at all because it drives me nuts. And then if it's just grossly... remember the movie Noah with Russell Crowe?
Yeah, I did not. No way.
Oh, my goodness.
I was going to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Well, I never, ever would have put down money. But I was on an international trip, probably I was going to the Philippines or with Bible League or maybe Moldova to speak at a youth camp. And it was on the plane. And that was the only reason. And I began watching it, and I got about halfway through, and I was so upset. I was so angry because it was.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine.
It was blasphemous, I thought.
Oh, yeah. I've heard.
It was horrible. It was terrible. So
it sounded, you know, when you started talking about the film, it sounded like a sailor story, and I thought, oh, boy, here we go, you know.
Well, it was just terrible. Noah didn't even build the ark. These tree monsters, trees that came to life out of the forest came and built the ark. And it was so bad.
Sounds like a combination of the Return of the Kings and the Bible, you know, kind of put together. I don't know where they get that stuff.
All right, Mark.
Yes, sir. You got to go, and I got to go, and you have a wonderful weekend.
All right. You as well, Mark. Always good to talk to you. God bless. A lot of people have said, have you seen Chosen? Have you seen The Chosen? No. And primarily because Joy and I just don't do a whole lot of the streaming thing. We probably should, and Joy has suggested that on many occasions we need to stream more thing and cast it on the TV. And I don't know, I guess I'm just too lazy. But we just haven't done much of that. So maybe I need to check it out. And maybe I won't be bothered. So I can't be critical at all because I haven't seen it. Everything I've heard has been good. But I am just troubled when people take poetic license with God's word. Just bothers me. You know the old thing, you know, somebody sees the movie and they say, I like the book better. That's me. When it comes to Bible things, I like the book better. Speaking of the book, interesting survey to share with you when we return.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Brand new survey by the American Bible Society and George Barna on what kind of Bible people prefer. No, I'm not talking about translations. I'm talking about what kind of Bible? A print version, digital version, electronic version, and so forth. And it has changed fairly dramatically in the last 10 years. But still today, 2021, 59% of regular Bible readers prefer a print copy. 59%. Obviously, the age group matters greatly. When you break it down by age, elders, 84% said, give me a print version. Elders. Baby boomers, 72% say, give me a print version. Generation X, 56%. Millennials, 47%. And Generation Z, 44%, nearly still almost half. Okay, let me give you my personal thoughts on this. Whether it will impact you or not, I don't know. I have a Bible app on my phone. In fact, I have two on my phone. Do I use it? Yeah. I have a Kindle. On my Kindle, I have a Bible program. Do I use it? Yeah. Not as much as I used to, but yeah. But I far, 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 far prefer a print version of the Bible for a number of reasons, and not just because I'm an old fuddy-duddy. Oh, no. Many, many, many more reasons. I think right at the top of the list is when I am holding a print version of the Bible in my hand and I am led to think about another verse or another chapter or whatever, I can instantly just turn. Well, Bob, you can do that on electronic version too. Not nearly as easy. I think I have five different Bibles. The one I use primarily is my current preaching Bible. Through my ministry, I've had, I think, three preaching Bibles, all wide margin. Love wide margin. A preacher friend of mine got me on wide margin Bibles years and years and years ago, and I could not live without my wide margin Bible. I can write notes in the margin. I can underline. But anyway, I am so familiar with my Bible, I could almost close my eyes and open it to the Psalms or Deuteronomy. I might not be there exactly, but I can just almost, I could almost close my eyes and find any book in the Bible because I'm just so familiar with it. There is something about holding that print version in my hand that allows me to see the Bible in its entirety. You can't do that with an electronic Bible. And by the way, again, I want to say, I have two Bible programs on my phone. I got a Bible program on my Kindle. I'm not saying they're wrong. I am not saying to dump them. I am saying, please consider the benefits of a print version. I have had a habit for years. In my Bible reading, if I come across a portion of Scripture that is a promise that I can claim, and I do it often for myself, for my family, something that's going on and God gives me a verse and it's a promise, here's what I do. I put my finger on it, and I pray and I claim it. God, thank you for giving me this verse. It is mine. I claim it. I claim this promise as mine right now. Thank you. And then I put a date beside it. Occasionally, not often, but occasionally I'll put something under the date to remind me of why I claimed that promise at that time. Three of my Bibles are filled with dates. Now, I guess you can do that with electronic version, but it's not nearly as easy. And then the next time you come across, I do that often. I fill the margins of my Bible with notes. Many of my sermons, I have the entire sermon notes in the margin of my Bible. They're all there. Open up my Bible, there's my sermon notes and so forth. You could do that with an electronic version, but it's much, much more difficult unless you are really techie. And most people are not that techie. There are just, in my personal opinion, there are so many advantages to have a print portion of the Bible in your hands. And I am thrilled that across the board, still in 2021, with all the electronic devices that we have and so forth, nearly 60%, 59% of Bible readers still prefer a print version. And even the youngins, the Generation X, nearly half, 44% of them, millennials, 47, Generation X, 56, the boomers, 72, and the elders, 84%. I hope and pray we never, ever give up our printed paper and ink Bibles. As far as study, note-taking, familiarity with the entire Bible and how it all fits together, no electronic version can compare to the print. Many things are great just because they're new, but not everything is better just because it's new. I'm grateful for the Bible apps, grateful for the electronic devices, and I use them every day. But I will never give up my print Bible. And I suggest you don't either. All right. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a great evening, but remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.